if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening to 2A Radio right here on RBN. Thank you very much to RJ Hinder, previous host on the last show. Thank you for sending your audience off to us right here on 2A Radio. Guys, on 2A Radio, and I'm going to explain this because we have a lot of new listeners that are coming in all the time. 2A Radio stands all for Second Amendment Radio. 2A, Second Amendment. 2aradio.com is the website. It's not two-way radio. It's 2A, and Second Amendment Radio.com. And my email address to send me comments about the show or anything else is bill@2aradio.com. Now, if you're going to send me a personal message directed to me directly from you, that's great. Any forwards you feel like sending, do me a favor, send them to somebody else, because I get them from several other email addresses all the time. Please do not send me forwards. Please do not put Bill at 2A Radio on a whole list of different people you're emailing stuff to, because then all I get is a whole bunch of garbage that people end up sending to me along down the line. And it is a mess. I have a lot of email that I have to go through, and that just makes it that much worse. So, Bill at 2A Radio, if you want to have a personal communication back and forth, that's great. What do we talk about here on the show? We talk about guns, gear, we talk about the right to carry, we talk about open carry, concealed carry, we talk about open carry movements, we talk about where politicians want to curb our open carry rights, where they want to curb our concealed carry rights, and also in areas of the country where they want to expand those rights and make it much less restrictive to carry your guns for personal protection. Guys, in the economy of today, police departments, sheriff's departments are laying off people left and right because they can't afford to pay them. The money's just not there. Revenues, tax revenues, all kinds of revenues are down. So that means two things. There are less cops on the street, and it's driven more people into crime. Who are you going to call? It's not Ghostbusters, guys. It's going to be Mr. Glock. It's going to be Mr. Browning when you pull your 1911. Whoever it is, it's going to be the manufacturer of the gun that you're carrying. We also talk about sporting uses of guns, but mainly it's a defensive-natured show where we go into different news articles. There's commentary. There's certainly my opinion. And then there's call-in. If at any time you feel as though you would like to call into the show, the number here is 800-313-9443. And a lot of people listen to the archives. The archives are available on the website, 2aradio.com. And then you can go on there, you can listen to the archives. The archives are commercial free. It gets right down to the nitty gritty. And they're always up within about a half an hour, maybe even 20 minutes of the show being completed for the day. So I just wanted to give you all of that background. So coming up in the rest of the show, you're going to get news, commentary, certainly my opinion on some of the things going on around the country at state and federal levels, and really see what's going on out there. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening to me right here on 2A Radio. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. guys. Welcome back. Got some information that came to us from Hawaii dealing with the birth certificate and this whole thing with Obama and what they call the birthers. And it's pretty funny because, you know, it's always been this way. It's always been the people who are more righteous in mind, thought, and opinion that argue points based on facts and information. And it's always the left, the ones that are misinformed and don't have any true arguing points, that argue based on calling names and yelling and shouting. So those who believe in this birth certificate mayhem with Obama are referred to as birthers, which in the term of the people who created the word birther, the term birther, it's all akin to calling you a scumbag. Same thing with the people who appreciate the Tea Party. They refer to the people who appreciate the Tea Party, refer to us as teabaggers. Well, let's teabag you guys. Listen to this on the whole thing with the Hawaii election. It says, official who says Obama has no birth certificate thinks his idea would solve the entire controversy. Now, the former Honolulu elections clerk, who maintains that President Obama was not born in Hawaii and has no birth certificate from any hospital in the Aloha state, is promoting a simple way to resolve the uproar over eligibility, at least for the future. Tim Adams, 45 years old, senior elections clerk for the city and county of Honolulu in the 2008 campaign, says all candidates for all offices should be required to prove their identity and eligibility before they even run. He says the easiest way would be to pass legislation saying everyone has to verify their identity when they're running for office. Adams told WND in an exclusive interview last week. I do think requiring everyone to clarify their identity would probably solve the entire controversy. Adams stresses the requirement would be for all political contests, from the presidency down to local races, to make sure office holder wannabes, are who they say they are and live in the proper district, for instance. I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, we've talked about that here on the show because the state of Arizona introduced, and I believe passed, legislation that said, you know what, if you're going to run for office of president, you're going to have to provide that information to the Secretary of State here in the state of Arizona before we'll even put you on the ballot. You're going to have to provide the credentials outlined that say that you are qualified to run for the presidency to the Secretary of State of Arizona. If you do not, you will not be on the ballot in the state of Arizona anywhere. So that just rocks. That's a good thing right there. And, you know, how difficult is it to say, okay, these are the different credentials you're going to need for this office based on stature? Okay, we have these statutes that say you have to be qualified, you have to be this age or, you know, live in this area, whatever. And here's the different things that you can bring in to provide that. You need those when you come register to run for the office. Well, I mean, what else do you need? That's pretty straightforward. All right. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about guns, because I had an email that came in about a specific gun. And the email came in and it said, what do you, being me, what do I think about the rifle that is put out by Microtech called the RFB. I'm sorry, no. That's the RFB. I'm going by memory. I don't have the email in front of me. The RFB is the Kel-Tec. It is the Microtech 556. And the Microtech 556 is an American-built, improved copy of the Steyr AUG, A-U-G, the Steyr AUG. The Steyr AUG was held by, like, the lead gunman, not the lead bad guy, but the lead gunman, long blonde-haired dude in the original Die Hard movie film back in, like, 88. It's a pretty neat gun. Here's the thing about it. It is a bullpup gun, meaning the entire overall length of this gun is about 28 inches. So it's a very, very short gun. And you put the thing into the shoulder pocket, the ejection port is way back near the back of the stock. The magazine actually goes way back near the back of the stock because the magazine needs to feed where the action is. The trigger is way further forward. Now, on most bullpup designs, the triggers are pretty rough because the trigger's all the way up front. And it's got to run through some mechanical means all the way to the back where the action is to actually fire the round. So, most of them are pretty rough. However, people have developed ways to get around that. There's a thing called a trigger tamer, which is pretty good. There's a guy who's on, I think, the AR-15 blogs that actually makes an aluminum version of the trigger tamer. It's like his own version that does the same sort of thing. Which works out pretty well. You can smooth some of the inner parts. There's a few things you can do to make the trigger on the Microtech. It's called the STG 5.56. You can also shoot the thing in, I think they have a 6.8 SPC. It's a great gun. It really is. The original version of this gun, the first couple versions of this gun that came out, used the AUG-style magazines, a proprietary magazine. Microtech makes them. They're excellent. The newest version of this gun accepts AR-15 magazines, which is even better because there's a billion of those out there, and even the best ones in the world are pretty cheap. So the newer version of the Microtech STG 5.56 will accept AR-15 magazines. If you have an older version of the gun, which I have, mine won't accept the AR mags. You can send it in. And what they can do is they can modify it so it will accept the magazines. That or they give it a new stock. Maybe they give it an entire new stock so that it will accept the AR magazines. I have not done that. At least not yet. I haven't done that. I, honest to God, don't shoot the gun enough to really worry too much about it. I like the gun. I like it a lot. The thing that keeps me from actually using it too much is if it comes down to the day of Armageddon and I need to be armed because society's collapsed, really. There's going to be a whole lot more AR-15s out there than there are going to be these Steyr Scouts. And with the ARs, if yours goes down, or if you're going to need parts and you don't have enough with you, you can get them off of some of the other ARs that are probably going to be lining the streets and the hands of what is otherwise a dead body. So at least that's my thinking. I don't know if I'm going to be right or not. I haven't actually gone to a civilly collapsed society and seen that before, other than what I've seen on television from other nations which have had it, and there are a lot of guns around on the streets, AK-47s generally, because that's the gun of choice in just about every other country. So when it comes to the Microtech STG 5.56, which is a copy of the Steyr AUG. It's a better version of the AUG. In the version I've got, there's a forward assist like on an AR-15. They have taken that off. They found out they really don't need that. It is an excellent gun. Microtech is a great company. They are famous for their knives and incredibly high quality knives. When I got my gun, I got the very limited edition version. Of course, I gotta be cooler than the average guy that just buys the gun, right? What they ended up doing was they had a Pelican case, and they had the gun inside the Pelican case with one each of their four different magazines. They have a 10, a 20, a 30, and a 42-round magazine, all in the Pelican case, with a sling and also a matching Microtech knife. And the knife and the gun have matching serial numbers on them. That's the way they packaged all of these things. So I was elated to get it, and the Pelican case comes with wheels because, you know, it's a little bit heavy, but you can pack the thing around. And the great thing about it is if you get something like that and you need to fly from point A to point B, you can always take the foam inserts that's in a Pelican case like that out and put in a new piece of foam and cut it out to fit your other gun that you might be flying with, or guns in this particular case. You might be able to put a couple of them in it because the Pelican case is pretty good size, having room for all of the magazines and everything. So the gun is a cool gun. I have shot a few of them. Microtech is in the process of putting together their own suppressor for the gun. Now, I will tell you this. I don't know what they're doing with the flash hiders now, but they were using a left-hand thread flash hider. Okay. And I wanted to be able to thread my suppressor onto my Microtech STG 5.56. back in the day. I wanted to be able to get that done. So what I did was I had to figure out how to get this flash suppressor off and then get an adapter that somebody sold so I could thread my suppressor on there. I had to go through all that. As a matter of fact, there ended up being a video put out there on YouTube on just how to do that. You got to take a propane torch and you got to heat the hell out of the thing. Actually, just heating it didn't work. I had to soak mine in Kroil, K-R-O-I-L. I had to soak it in Kroil overnight so it would get in there and eat up some of the Loctite that they used to actually keep that left-hand threaded suppressor on there, flash suppressor on there. Once I did that, then I took it out, dried the thing off, then I fired it up, and then it broke right off. Put the standard suppressor, the adapter back on there, and now I've got a regular birdcage flash hider on there, and I can take that birdcage off, and I can put the standard sound suppressor on there. So it's good for that, but the thing is, it's a little bit loud because of the gas system that they use. Microtech themselves, who built the gun, have developed a suppressor which will work and deal with that gas system extra loud bang. So if you want to suppress one of those guns, go with the Microtech system all the way through, including the can. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. We'll be right back. I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, on Wednesday we talked about an exemption being carved out for the NRA when they got into bed on a campaign finance bill dealing with First Amendment rights. This is really pretty much kicked over hornet's nest in the pro-gun community between the NRA defenders and then gun owners who oppose this whole special privilege, this everybody else is going to have their First Amendment rights subverted, but the NRA. So the NRA put out what they refer to as a clarification. Okay. Now, this comes out of Ammoland.com, and it's titled National Rifle Association Clarification on H.R. 5175, the Disclosure Act. This is coming out of, North Carolina. It says, we appreciate the concerns that some NRA members have raised regarding our position on H.R. 5175, the Disclosure Act. Unfortunately, critics of our position have misstated or misunderstood the facts. We have never said we would support any version of the bill. To the contrary, we clearly stated NRA's strong opposition to the Disclosure Act, as introduced, in a letter sent to members of Congress on May 26, 2010. Through the courts and in Congress, the NRA has consistently and strongly opposed any efforts to restrict rights of our 4 million members to speak and have their voices heard on behalf of gun owners nationwide. The initial version of H.R. 5175 would effectively put a gag order on the NRA during elections and threaten our members' freedoms of association by forcing us to turn over donor lists over to the federal government. We would also have been forced to list our top donors on all election-related television, radio, and internet ads and mailings, even mailings to our own members. We refuse to let Congress impose these unconstitutional restrictions on our association. What they're not being clear about is they're not saying that they would oppose that unilaterally on anybody and everyone in this country. The NRA provides critical firearms training for our armed forces and law enforcement throughout the country. This bill would force us to choose between training our men and women in uniform and exercising our rights to free political speech. We refuse to let this Congress force us to make that choice. We didn't sell out to Nancy Pelosi or anything else. We told Congress we opposed the bill. As a result, congressional leaders made a commitment to exempt us from its draconian restrictions on free speech. If that commitment is honored, we will be We will not be involved if that to the commitment is honored. We will not be involved in the final House debate. If that commitment is not fully honored, we will strongly oppose the bill. So what they're admitting, absolutely admitting in this letter that, look, we oppose it. So they said, okay, then we will exempt you guys from it. They say our position is based on principle and experience. During consideration of the previous campaign finance legislation passed in 2002, congressional leadership repeatedly refused to exempt the NRA from its provisions, promising that our concerns would be fixed somewhere down the line. That didn't happen. Instead, the NRA had to live under those restrictions for 7 years and spend millions of dollars on compliance costs and on legal fees to challenge the law. We will not go down that road again. And when we have an opportunity to protect our ability to speak. Let's see. There are those who say the NRA has a greater duty to principle than our gun rights. It's easy to say we should put the Second Amendment at risk over First Amendment principle unless you have sworn duty to protect the Second Amendment above all else, as we do. Okay. So you're going to let the other amendments, the rest of the Constitution, fall and collapse around the Second Amendment? Is that it? To only where you can defend it. Is that right, NRA? You suck. They say, the NRA is a bipartisan, single-issue organization made up of millions of individual members dedicated to the protection of the Second Amendment. We do not represent the interests of other organizations. That's their responsibility. Our responsibility is to protect and defend the interests of our members, and that's what we do without apology. So, hold on a second. You are going to represent your members. 4 million of you. 4 million. As you claim, we don't have any proof of that. You claim 4 million members. There's about 310 million people in the United States. Take out kids. Take out the elderly. Take out the people, I don't know, blah, da, 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 da. Just, we're going to remove all different types of segments. And we're going to generously say that there are 200 million people that could be members of the NRA. And that's pretty conservative. All right, and which benefits you for this discussion. 4 million out of 200 million. That's 2% of the population, 1 out of 50 people. You used to have 4 or 5 million members back in the 50s and 60s when there was like 50 million people. That was 10% of the population. Now it's 2. Far less people are members of the NRA. You keep up the garbage like this, NRA, and everybody's going to be snipping up their NRA cards. I want everybody to know that calling in for the next segment is Dudley Brown of the National Association for Gun Rights, the director of NAGR and Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association. Dudley Brown's going to call up. We're going to talk a little bit about this and see what this whole thing is all about and get the NAGR's opinion straight out of the horse's mouth, right from Dudley Brown. So, stay tuned. We're going to have that right after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on Two-Way Radio.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. You know that we spoke just a couple days ago about this whole bunch of malarkey that the NRA yet again is up to, where they're doing some form of a compromise so that the NRA can keep some sort of a voice in Congress, but everybody else gets hosed. They're standing up for their own individual thoughts and ideals for their own 4 million members, which they claim, it's probably less than that, and forget about the rest of the pro-gun lobby, the rest of the pro-gun groups, the rest of the pro-gun people in America. And then I read you a response came out of Dudley Brown from National Association for Gun Rights, and right now we have Dudley on the line. Dudley, welcome to 2A Radio.
Well, hello there, Bill. How are you doing?
You know, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit pissed. How about you, man?
Yeah, I'm fired up. I think that would be a good way to put it. And we have been for a few days, especially as we got wind of this particular sellout, one of many by the NRA, maybe one of the more egregious sellouts in recent memory anyway. And it has fired myself up, our staff, and activists all around the country are literally burning their NRA membership cards and cutting them up and telling them, I'm done, go home.
Well, you know, I tell you what I did on the air the other day was I gave out the 800 number that you had left in your email, I don't know, probably a dozen times on that show to encourage everyone to call the NRA and let them know how ticked off they were. But for the folks that might not have heard that, give us a little bit of a background of their shenanigans that they're up to now.
Well, many people might remember the Citizens United case in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that that removed some of John McCain's draconian fire campaign finance deform law was defunct. And what it is free speech control. And and so they, this case was kind of landmark and it was exciting and it really didn't, I wouldn't say it changed the world, but it did roll back some of the controls on what we call political speech that McCain-Feingold put into place. And so what this piece of legislation, and understand that politicians love to change the bill numbers and move it, play a shell game. We've all seen it if you've ever called into a politician and said, please oppose this bill, and they go, oh, we don't know anything about that bill.
Yeah.
And, of course, it means they changed the bill number to a new bill and therefore claim ignorance, in almost a Bill Clinton fashion. But what it is a draconian reestablishing those controls on speech. Understand this, and every gun owner in America better understand this, or we're sunk. If we don't have the ability to hold politicians accountable, we are done. We will never retain our gun rights, period. End of sentence. Full stop. And the problem is politicians keep trying to control that speech, control how we talk to our members, control how the NRA talks to its members, and for that matter, other conservative groups. And so the way they stop us holding politicians accountable is we can't tell our members how a politician voted. Well, if you can't tell them how they voted, you certainly can't hold them accountable.
Now, you would think that just with the free, you would think that they would then what, make you go through the Freedom of Information Act months down the road before you could release that information? What tyranny?
So it is. It is really truly tyranny. And so the Democrats in Congress have been trying to find a way around our Constitution and a way that would be acceptable to the Supreme Court, even the existing Supreme Court. And so they came up with this legislation, but it looked like it was dead on arrival, that would probably die. It was meeting direct opposition. And guess what? That's when we got word. We got word about it more than a week ago, but we have to confirm things before we unleash our fire, and found out the NRA was cutting a backroom deal with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and the sponsor of the bill, none other than Chuck Schumer.
You got to be kidding me. The arch enemies of the political arch enemies of every gun owner in the free world, not just here in the U.S., especially here in the U.S., but the arch enemy, and now the NRA's getting into bed. I mean, talk about sleeping with the enemy, man.
Well, the truth is they got into bed with Carolyn McCarthy a little over 2 years ago on the Veteran Disarmament Act. So it shouldn't be surprising they're getting in bed with Chuck Schumer now. And what they did was they negotiated an exemption for their organization. Now, it doesn't say the NRA, this amendment that they're going to run to that what's called the Disclose Act. That's the reestablishing controls on free speech. And but it does say that it creates an exemption for any organization with over 1 million members, has been in existence for more than 10 years. They have members in all 50 states and raise 15% or less of their funds from corporations.
Okay, so handwritten to include the NRA. Wait, now,
and only a couple other groups. The only other groups we know for certain would fit in it are AARP, a leftist group, and the Humane Society, which isn't too involved in politics, but when they are, they're on the very far left.
Oh, yeah.
And we think maybe even MoveOn.org.
So what they're doing now is they're trying to create legislation that says only the very powerful PACs with a lot of money that can actually afford to buy our votes are we going to allow to actually have any sort of a voice. Other than that, we're going to, it's almost like the 14th Amendment creating a second class of citizenship that didn't have the same rights and inalienable abilities in the United States as the original class of citizens, and now everybody's by default considered a 14th class citizen. It sounds like it's going to be this way with these lobbying groups. So you guys are allowed because you fit this criteria. The rest of you, you're not allowed to even speak.
And that is exactly what it is. And it is a great way for the left to seize control of essentially all the outlets that they do not control, which are organizations. I mean, they largely control the media, but they don't control organizations around the country, especially on firearms issues. And that disturbs them, and this was their way to do it.
I would like to see them.
Is hey, we got to do something to protect ourselves, and because if we don't exist, the Second Amendment will surely fall. What? I honestly must say that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. The NRA literally is redefining itself as the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And anybody with any activity in the last 20 years, certainly at any reasonable level of politics, will note that the NRA has not been on the right side of political fights in America. They really haven't. And many people are shocked by this NRA sellout, but I'm not shocked at all.
You know, I got to tell you, Dudley, my NRA membership is due for renewal this month. And the only reason I've ever kept an NRA membership in the last decade is because with the membership, you get basically free insurance on your guns. But
insurance.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know that that's worth it anymore. And I'm highly considering allowing this membership to lapse and send in a letter to Wayne LaPierre himself as to just exactly why.
Uh-huh. Well, the National Association for Gun Rights is actually looking at new insurance policy now for our members, and hopefully we will come up with a competitive or even better insurance policy for a certain level of members. And we hope to do that because we think that presents a good alternative. But I encourage people to call the NRA and tell them what they think of this sellout. As well as, frankly, if you're going to tell them what to do to their membership, why don't you do it on your radio show? And you can. The sound of scissors cutting up the card would come through the microphone quite well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it would too. That's definitely come into mind. As a matter of fact, I've tried to reach a couple other friends that have NRA memberships to see if they'd come in and do something similar to that. And surprisingly enough, the majority of the people I know who have at one time or another been an NRA member have already let their membership lapse because they didn't want to deal with their sellouts anymore.
Well, I've been a gun lobbyist for 17 years, and I like to work in the trenches level, literally helping state level groups or actually being at a state legislature. You know, in New Mexico or helping, for instance, the Wyoming gun owners, helping Iowa gun owners, South Dakota gun owners, any number of groups we've helped form or help with professional advice. And so I've operated in about 20 states And in every state I operate in the last 17 years, everywhere I go, it's the NRA that is who these groups are fighting with, trying to advance freedom. Whether it's trying to pass a Firearms Freedom Act, whether it's trying to pass Vermont-style concealed carry, no permit needed carry, such as we've been trying in Iowa and in Wyoming and Colorado.
And we got in Arizona. Yeah.
Every area that I see, every battle I see, it's almost always a very solid local pro-gun group against the mammoth NRA.
Yeah, and their compromising sellout nature, and it makes me sick that they actually believe they're doing the right thing. It's almost like you would go to them and they would, maybe next year they're going to say, you know what, the Constitution and the Second Amendment are a living, breathing document. We're going to agree with the lefties. That's next. That's next. I'm telling you. Oh, well, you know, let's define arms. You know, let's talk about, you know, maybe a bow and arrow with a blunt tip or a spear without an action with another blunt tip. What is this?
I think the response is the NRA is a one-issue organization and it does not lobby on First Amendment issues. But the truth is, one, the NRA has been involved many times against violations of free speech and restrictions. But two, that is, if the First Amendment is destroyed, that is the only weapon we have to defend the Second Amendment. It really is the only weapon at whatsoever. Well, and to suggest that somehow the Second Amendment is going to be defended while the First Amendment is ripped apart just doesn't make any sense. How do gun owners go out and hold politicians accountable who vote for gun control when, frankly, we don't even know?
We don't even know
how they voted.
I have to tell you.
We got to get it directly from the NRA because that's the only group that will allow us? Well, if that's the case, then I guess all those gun controls the NRA endorses in Congress must be okay. It's okay if a politician votes for that.
Yeah,
I got to tell you this.
Go ahead.
When the Bush administration went out to reauthorize the non-detectable gun bans in 2004, the NRA sent letters onto the Hill to members of Congress saying, vote for it. Vote for a ban on the, quotes, non-detectable guns. I mean, this is what you call lobbying for freedom?
Yeah.
I just don't buy it.
You know,
and some of us have finally said, no more. Even an NRA board member right now, Cleta Mitchell, is now saying, she was quoted in Red State today, actually Washington Post today, as trashing the NRA.
Good.
So
now I gotta ask you something, Dudley. What do you think about this? Now Pelosi and Schumer and Reid and McCarthy, all of these people that they're now in bed with on this, and it's an election year. So those who are running for real, do you think the NRA, what do you think they're going to do in Pelosi's area? They just got in bed with her and had to make some sort of a deal. So what do you think they're going to do when it comes to endorsing a candidate running in Pelosi's district? You think they'll stay out of it? You think they'll say, no. She's had a turnaround on this. This is going to pose something very interesting. I wonder if they would even put anybody on their little ballot, say, okay, in this area, vote for this person, or if they're just going to let it slide.
Well, realistically, the reason the NRA doesn't is because they never do. Is because they want a good win-loss record, and they don't like to oppose incumbents.
True.
And it's pretty rare for them to actually come out and endorse people against incumbents, even when the incumbent's bad.
You know, I'll tell you, a
specific case. I can use a very specific case.
Go for it.
That is very illustrative of that attitude. In Colorado, a state house member was going to run for a Republican state house member was going to run for an open state senate seat. That state house member in Greeley, Colorado, ran a bill to give the ATF the power to make arrests in Colorado based on state law. Not federal,
no.
State. And in other words, he empowered the ATF in Colorado. And what the NRA came out and endorsed him. They gave him money, and they did mailings for him. Even though his opponent in the primary was a gunny himself, owned AR-15s, and was, everybody knew, was way to the right of this character. Well, we ended up winning that one. But that is what we see everywhere.
You know, Dudley, we only got about 20 seconds left here, but I want to tell you what it seems to me like is that the federal government at all branches are doing their damnedest to paint the rest of America into a corner to either be subdued and succumb to their wills, or we're going to come out fighting. And by trying to take away our First Amendment rights, then we're not going to be able to argue about our Second Amendment rights. It's going to put us to task whether or not we're going to load these guns and go after them. Dudley, thanks so much for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. And to keep track of this, go to nationalgunrights.org.
Great. Dudley, hang on the line. I'm going to talk to you at the break. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to me right here on 2A Radio.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
All right, guys, welcome back. I got to tell you, thanks again, Dudley, for taking your time to call in. What are we going to do about this? If we believe in any particular organization, and that particular organization decides that for some reason or other, okay, we're going to defend this right, but not that right. We're going to march the mantra that makes you believe that we're going to uphold all which is good and standing, and then we're going to compromise those principles and then give you a little bit of double talk to, oh, no, we never said that. We might have inferred that, but we never said that, came out and said that. So, I have to tell you this. Again, as I said with Dudley, the only reason I have kept my NRA membership, and I've told you this many times, is that I get insurance plan on my guns. If NAGR, or GOA, Gun Owners of America, or U.S. Concealed Carry Association, or Second Amendment Foundation, or, you know, any of the other big positive national pro-gun groups comes out with, okay, you know, we have an insurance policy that matches or exceeds, would even be nice, what the NRA's insurance policy is with your membership, I'm gone in a heartbeat. I am gone in a heartbeat. It's the only thing that keeps me around with the NRA. But I think that this whole deal with this getting in bed with the Democrats, that they are denying, or actually they're not really denying it. What they're doing is they're saying, well, no, we never said we were going to support it. It's that as long as we're exempt, we're not going to fight it. That's what they said. We're not going to support the bill, but if we are exempt, we won't fight the bill. Imagine that. Well, they say the NRA is one of, if not the most powerful lobby in Washington. So you would think that they could put up a strong fight against this bill, if the rumors are true. Maybe they're not. Maybe the NRA is just punier than the rest of us have been led to believe. I don't know. I really don't. All I know is what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing right now, yet again, a bad taste in my mouth with the NRA. I hunted them down for 4 solid days at the SHOT Show for anybody to give me an interview on a nationally syndicated Second Amendment talk radio show. And all I got was the runaround. Finally, somebody said, you know, call this number and talk to the people at the NRA ILA back in Virginia. No. I'm on the floor of the SHOT Show, and I want somebody from here, one of you, to talk to me. I just, that sunk the ship.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Have a great weekend, guys. See you Monday.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.